Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
It is an absolutely beautiful spring day, blue skies. It just makes you think about the Pittsburgh Maulers and the USFL. Neil Coulon.
Absolutely. We're fired up for probably the first and last, first and not last USFL season. Another version of it will be reincarnated, I'm sure, in 8-9 years, something like that. But yeah, spring football is all the rage, right? We want to watch that level of competition. We enjoy football being played at that level. That's why everybody watches it.
Okay, so let's
let's start today. Is that
I wanted to at least keep it light because now the heavy stuff's coming up. Obviously,
yeah.
You know what? Dwayne Haskins was not with the Steelers that long, but what kind of impact did he at least make on his teammates and the organization?
I'll say this. I think Chase Claypool, Steelers' third-year receiver, he posted a video of himself full-on crying, talking about the whole situation with Dwayne Haskins and the fact that Claypool might be the last person who knew him to see him. It goes to show the level of bonding that comes through this sport and through team sports in general, really. He was not with the team very long, but he clearly made an impact on somebody who's been with the team for a little bit. He's working out with the team, although I think it's highly unlikely that the consideration would have been him as a starter. But he's still going down there, still bonding with the guys who were there, and again, clearly making an impact, at least on one person. It goes to show leadership is not purely in just a starting role or even a position. You know, some people gravitate well to that. Some people are very well liked. They're very charismatic. And that the outpouring that I saw in regards to Dwayne Haskins was almost entirely about that. Everybody enjoyed him being around. Right? It's a great legacy, even if you're talking about it in wake of a death of a 24-year-old kid. I mean, just an awful situation to kind of wake up to on Saturday. I think the fact, the impact too, I think you have to look at the fact he was down there with a bunch of teammates. So his teammates were there. They're front row and center for all of this. It'll be a topic of conversation, I think, going into the season. You have to wonder where they are mentally with it. And you hope that they're able to grieve in an appropriate way, that they're given the resources to be able to do that. That's just, it's an unspeakable thing. And to be that close to it, especially obviously with a friend, but to be that close to the incident itself, that's tough. It's really, really tough. And I hope that all of them can find peace and his family is able to be supported in an unspeakable time.
Because the players he was down there with were all young like him. I mean, that's, you know, and you are probably at that age, you probably don't think about mortality, and then all of a sudden somebody that you were just with is gone, and it just has, the shock of it is, I mean, it's shocking for older people to hear that it happened, let alone somebody who was just with him moments earlier.
Yeah, that's the thing for me more than anything. The older that I get in this business, you tend to kind of forget somehow just truly how young these guys are.
Yeah.
I mean, it hit me more than anything. I guess I knew it, but I didn't have it in the context of the situation until it happened, obviously. But he turns 25 in April. He's 24 years old.
Yeah.
We've been talking about Dwayne Haskins for years. I mean, yeah. it's you almost feel like he grew up in the watchful eye of the fishbowl, and he did, more or less. But there comes a point that you just kind of assume he's at or around the level of the older veterans who were there. And for me, it's getting to the point now where the old veterans are young, you know, in life, they're young. And Haskins is, he's barely an adult. I mean, it's just a horrible, horrible situation. It's just tragically sad. But you can't get past that part of it. I think you said it, you know, perfectly well just a bit ago, that the sense of mortality, I know I didn't have it when I was 24. To have that and put it into the context of playing such a violent game, it is really easy to view them as commodities, which unfortunately I think is a side story that's come out of all of this as well. It's hard to view them as humans without stopping to think about it when you get wrapped up in this. And it's a moment for pause now, I think, certainly for the Steelers organization, and I hope for Steelers fans as well, because to be honest with you, I didn't get a whole lot of positive feedback on anything that I said about Dwayne Haskins. I it's not as if fans took him to be the way that his teammates did. And you see the way his teammates reacted to all of this, and they're likely to continue speaking on those terms. I hope that people realize that they are humans at the end of the day. And I think what gets lost is how truly young they are and how inexperienced they are in life, and how easy it is for us to only view them as, you know, untouchable, godlike figures, and not remember the humanity behind all of this.
All right. So now, from the business point of view, for the Steelers, the organization is grieving, but they also have to make sure that when it comes time, they have enough people to play the position when they get the OTAs, the training camp, and so forth. Have the Steelers made any moves there to bring in another quarterback? As cold as that sounds, yeah, you still have to do it.
You hate to answer that question, but I think my thought was, looking at the complexion of the roster as they have it, I think they had a reasonable chance of considering a quarterback at 20 anyway, and I think those odds go up now. You had to look at it like they're bringing in earlier they were bringing in two quarterbacks at roughly the same amount of money below the one they just signed for a lot more money. You had to think that they were going to let them compete, duke it out for probably a backup job, and look to trade or just release the loser of that competition. And I think the third one is going to be set in stone now. They're going to bring in a quarterback. I think they're going to need to, because whether it was Haskins or Rudolph, they're on one-year contracts. And Trubisky's only on a two-year contract, which is basically, we're going to pay you for now. We'll take a cap hit to cut you next year if we need to. We're not worried about that. This is in no way, shape, or form a guarantee for a second year. That, to me, and I said this last year at this time, I think what they're trying to do is set themselves up to find their future quarterback in 2022, which is where we are now. It wouldn't surprise me if that's what they end up doing. Whether that has been their plan, I don't know. I could make the argument, but I think this now will kind of ratchet that up, and it cements Rudolph in place. And I think the third quarterback is going to be a rookie that they draft, and that's going to be the guy you're looking at for the future, whether that's 2023 or a two-year waiting time for him. That's probably what we're looking at now. And I hope, you know, the team does commemorate Haskins in some way, shape, or form. But, yeah, I mean, the game must go on. And I think a rookie would have been a reasonable move for them before, but I view it closer to a necessity now. They're going to need to find an answer to that question, or they are in the exact same spot next year that they're in now, whether this is good or bad. They're in the same position of having to jockey around and have to continue trying to plan out a future at the most important position in sports. The reality is you will not win consistently in the NFL if you do not have an answer at the quarterback position. Right. And that needs to be something over multiple years. You can't keep doing it 1 year at a time. Way too many teams get to, as you call it, the Atlanta Hawks level of presence within the league. They're just quite not good enough to really push it over the hump. That's what Mitch Trubisky represents in my mind. And keep in mind, Trubisky, he took over in Chicago after they signed Mike Glennon to be the same type of thing that he is now. So right. I don't, you know, that happens all the time in the NFL. Trubisky's been on the front side of it, and I think he's going to end up being on the back side of it. There'll be a rookie that they bring in that eventually is going to take over for him.
Yeah, I was wondering if maybe just as a look, right now we need another person, a guy like Josh Dobbs. You know, somebody that's going to take snaps and OTAs and things like that.
Yeah, Dobbs would have been nice. He just signed with Cleveland, which right. kind of, you know, sticks the blade in the back a little bit more.
Yeah.
You don't have that fallback anymore. And again, you've got Trubisky, you've got Rudolph. It seems all indications were that they wanted to bring four into camp. So
right.
It could be another move that's out there, not just the draft. I didn't say that before. They very well could bring in a veteran, you know, lead pony, if you will. Or they might bring in two rookies. Who knows? I mean, they draft one. The other one would definitely be an undrafted free agent, somebody to mop up Carolina in the fourth quarter of their final preseason game,
right.
Whenever that'll be. But they're going to need to bring in, I think, probably a draft pick, and I would think a veteran somewhere, just a guess. They would rather draft number three overall right now than bring three in, none of which are certain to be on next year's team, you know, from their perspective. They're going to want somebody that they can start to develop and look to contend at least for a starting position next year.
5 years ago, I would not have asked you this question about the possibility of the Steelers trading up, because that's not what the Steelers did. And then they made the deal to move up to get Devin Bush at 10, I think it was. And of course, they made a trade to also pick up Minkah Fitzpatrick. Is it possible in your mind that the Steelers, based on the quarterbacks in this draft, attempt to trade up?
It's so funny. In January, the only thing we could talk about among the quarterbacks was how bad they were. And now we're getting around to the stock of these guys growing.
Neil, there are two drafts. There's actually the draft.
Exactly.
And there's the quarterback draft. I mean, there are two drafts now, because let's be honest about it. None of the quarterbacks in this draft are in the top 50 players in the draft, but they're going to be picked in the top 50 because there are two drafts. There's the quarterback draft because I need one, and there's the draft.
You absolutely have to have a quarterback. Again, you're not going to be successful in a 3 or a 5 year window if you do not have a consistent quarterback answer. What that means, unfortunately, in such a crapshoot environment is you're going to have to make a gamble. You're going to have to find a guy that you think is the guy, and you're going to have to draft him as quickly as you can, because if you don't, somebody else will, because they're faced with the exact same problem that you are.
Yep.
And you will not win. This is why Russell Wilson, at his age, at his level of durability now, just went for a haul to Denver. Denver gave up everything. Right. To get him. And it makes perfect sense. I wish Pittsburgh had done that. I think that would have been the best move for them overall. When you watch the Rams go against a team that was playing phenomenal defensive football for four playoff games, and you saw the quarterback have to gut out a 15-play drive with some penalties, but a 15-play drive to score the game-winning touchdown. You understand the value of that position. And he's going up against a top draft pick who got every headline for whatever reason leading into that game. Burrow did not earn the accolades that he received going into that. Stafford was underrated because he didn't play well in a couple primetime games. Everyone thinks that he's garbage now. That's the level of impact that a quarterback makes. And Stafford was the one who stepped up on the final drive. Did the Bengals get three plays at the end?
Right.
Burrow didn't do anything.
Right.
He wasn't great in the game either.
Right.
So the value of the quarterback matters far more than everybody else. So the reality is, if you're a general manager, you just got a job and you don't have a quarterback, if you don't take one now, next year, you're still in year one. You
right.
still don't have a quarterback, and you right. probably have a bad record. So now you're doing the same thing. What can you guarantee today that's going to be there for you next year? Nothing. It's one in the air versus two in the bush. And the reality is, if you need a quarterback like the Steelers do, just my opinion, you need to take one. You hope that you're right. You're going to develop him like you are, and you're paying coaches a lot of money to not play in the game, to set the guy up to be in a position to succeed. And if it doesn't work, it's your job. Well, if you don't have a quarterback, it's your job anyway. You have to take the risk on that, in my opinion. So whether that there are things about Desmond Ridder that I like. I could see him available at 20. I understand why he's not a top 10 pick, but he might go higher than 20. In the quarterback draft, he might have to go higher than 20. Yeah. I think, to me, the fact of the matter is you have too many people that are drafting for social media. They're drafting for the NFL. They're not drafting for a team. And they're the ones who are pushing the idea that these quarterbacks are all terrible. They're going off that top 50 board that you mentioned before. And right. There should be an equal say. He's number 47 overall. He should go within a pick or two of number 47. No, it's just simply not how it works. You can't do it that way. Plus, you're not evaluating for that team what their philosophy is, what they're doing, what they're trying to build. Teams are looking at it that way. If the Steelers view Desmond Ridder as a potential starter for them in 2023, I see that position as a pretty significant need for them at this time next year. My opinion, they need to take him. I don't care if he's the 51st best player on the board. You need a quarterback on Sundays. So get him in there. Start to train him. Hope that he takes over, because you're not going to win having to go out and sign a Mitch Trubisky every year. It's just not going to happen for very long. You have to have an answer at that position. So, yeah, the quarterbacks, regardless of where they're mocked in February, they're going to go higher. This is why I think it's hilarious that people think Malik Willis is getting out of the top 10. Like, it's a question. Well, I'm not sure if he'll go in the top 10 or not. He's going to the top 10, okay?
He'll
probably
be one of
going in the top five.
He'll be one of the first five guys off the board.
Yeah. I would be, honestly, I'm not going to bet on this, but I would be surprised if he is not at least the fifth overall pick. And I think he will be. I think there's way too many teams after five that are close to five that don't have to give up much to trade up to ensure that they get the most physically talented quarterback in the draft, because they need a quarterback. You don't win without a quarterback. You know, do you want to give up second round picks for Carson Wentz every year? That's not a winning strategy.
No.
As hard as that is to say, he's kind of made his bed now at this point. It's tough to quantify simply a very simple concept like this. But you have to have an answer at the quarterback position. And since you have no idea what the answer is when you draft a guy, you got to go with one that you feel is going to pan out. And that's just it. Because if you don't have a quarterback, you get fired the exact same way as if the quarterback you tried didn't work out. You've got to hope for the best. You know, at the very least, take the shot that you need to take and hope that it works out. Then you have, you know, permanent job security in the NFL. If you're related to a coach, or you drafted a quarterback who was successful, you'll work in the NFL for 30 years. We all know that. That's what they need to do. And I hope the Steelers are thinking along those lines, because that's for the sake of their future. That's what they need.
So yeah, I don't know how closely you've watched any of these guys. Like, it's open ended. Who would you take? I mean, you know, of these quarterbacks, who do you think actually is the best one?
Three years from now, I think it'll be Willis.
Yeah.
If you need one to start this year, I think it's Pickett, and I think Pickett will be pretty decent. There's a lot about Pickett that you like in terms of the intangibles. If you talk to anybody around that program, anybody there would run through a wall for him. Very mm-hmm. charismatic leader, very mature, but very likable. He's the type of guy a locker room is going to follow.
Right.
His physical skills, not bashing them, but they're not outstanding. He's good. He's not going to be great. Willis, I think, is a little bit less than Pickett in terms of his arm, but Willis is really smart. I love Willis's story. I love the toughness that comes with him. Not a highly recruited guy coming out of high school, but he just simply got better each step of the way. Gets into college, wasn't highly recruited, wasn't even supposed to play right away, gets put into the lineup, does really well, and continues to improve.
Mm-hmm.
There's a shelf life in terms of your development where you run out of opportunities. You will have had to have shown something, and usually it's physically. But I think in the right situation, giving him time to develop with Ritter, it seems sort of antithetical to say that, but give him some time to adjust to the speed of the game. I think he's smart enough to figure it out to kind of be the type that the sum of his whole is greater than the sum of his parts.
Yeah.
And with that, you've got a winner. You know, you've seen him win at every level he's been at.
Yeah.
Very mature. He's a great leader. I like a lot of what Ritter puts out there, and I think he gets ripped perhaps a little bit more than he should because he doesn't possess Trevor Lawrence-like traits.
Right.
You know, we get spoiled last year. It was easy saying who the best quarterback was.
Right.
And there were a couple really good ones, but Lawrence is another level. I mean, he's a once-in-a-generation player.
Yeah.
Ritter is not that. Willis is not that. But Willis has the most upside. We talked about this last week as well. I can't stress this enough. Liberty is not, you know, pulling guys from the Belichick tree to coach, okay? I'm not trying to sound, you know, pompous in saying that. I just mean you have to understand that Willis, at that point in his age, his development, how young he is, he's a reflection of what his coaches are teaching him.
Mm-hmm.
And his coaches, you have Malik Willis as an absolute fluke. There's nobody else in that roster even close to Malik Willis. They're all completely ordinary college-level players. There's only so much you can do with all of that, even if you have a weapon like Willis. They weren't able to use him fully, I don't think. Or if they did, it was on the ground. They let him run,
yeah.
And he wasn't forced to read a defense.
Right.
Once you get him in there reading, I think he'll develop, and I think he'll be really good. But he's really, really raw. It's going to take a while.
Yeah.
Upside-wise, it's Willis hands down. I think Ritter and Pickett can be reasonable NFL players within their first 2 years if they get the opportunity to do that.
The only problem I had with Pickett, when they talk about hand size and blah, 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 well, do you fumble? We fumbled 37 times. I mean, that's not a small number. Neil, thank you so much. We'll get an opportunity. Maybe we ought to get a luxury suite. You and I go to a Maulers game.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure there are plenty available. It wouldn't take much, right? Quick phone call.
They'll give us the red carpet treatment. They'll thank you. Thank you for showing.
Some free nachos. Let's do it.
My friend, thanks.
Definitely. Thanks for having me, guys.